Canucks Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. What's happening, Sat?
No, just another day chilling, getting ready for a Canucks game.
Getting ready for a big game against the Dallas Stars.
A game against the Dallas Stars in the Big D.
Yeah.
That's how I would put Big and the Canucks game together in context.
Well, you do know that the St. Louis Blues finally had their win streak come to an end.
Yeah.
So a losing streak must just be around the corner.
Don't even.
The door is still slightly ajar.
Reach. You know, I tried to do that, you know, for the past couple weeks, jokingly with the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
But you know, it's done. It's been done, but it's done. It's over.
Yeah, I know.
Do we just need the E next to their name? Is that mercifully going to happen tonight?
I mean, it could. A regulation loss to the Dallas Stars, I think, puts the E next to the Canucks in the standings.
You know what's going to happen? The Canucks will win the next five games.
Mm.
And they'll miss the playoffs by like 2 points. People will be like, oh, they were so close.
Yes, the Blues' 12-game win streak came to an end because the Winnipeg Jets, pretty good, held them to 15 shots and a 3-1 win last night. But that 12-game win streak is essentially, well, it's not the only thing that crushed the Canucks' playoff hopes, but it certainly played a big factor in crushing the Canucks' playoff hopes.
You know what? You're right, right? And we talked a lot about this, like what led to the Canucks' issues, and there are a lot of problems.
Yes.
And, you know, you can even trace it back to training camp, right?
Yeah.
But the Canucks are at fault for missing the playoffs, right?
Yes.
And yes, the Minnesota Wild, I mean, the St. Louis Blues made it harder for Vancouver, but the only way they were going to get in this year was if somebody did them a favor.
Yeah.
And you can't bank on favors. And as you've been mentioning, you mentioned this going back to even in February and in January, that it's tight right now in the playoff race. But somebody's going to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody always gets hot.
Yep.
And
there's no way. Like, it was never going to be like an 89-point bar to get into the mm-hmm. playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, that's just unrealistic to think. I know last year, I think Washington got in with 91 last year in the East.
But that's the East. Like, forget the East. Like, the West is different.
Yeah.
The last time in the West it was even close to that was the Minnesota Wild some years back with 87.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's like the one-off year. Every other year is like in the mid to high 90s. Last year it was like 100 points to get into the playoffs in
yeah.
the West.
And it's going to be in the mid-90s again because of the way that the Blues went on that tear and didn't clinch a playoff spot. They just got three games to go. Minnesota's got four. They're on 91 points. And again, the Canucks' tragic number remains at two. All right, let's get to the open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Fuck! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks getting ready to play the Dallas Stars, and they do so without Jonathan Lekkerimäki on the roster. At 9:15 a.m., April 8th, 2025, via X, the Canucks announced general manager Patrick Alvin announced today that forward Jonathan Lekkerimäki has been reassigned to Abbotsford in the AHL, which I wouldn't say for sure ends his season with the Canucks, but likely means he is done for the year with the Vancouver Canucks and will maintain Calder Trophy eligibility for next season.
Yeah, and you know what, Reach?
Which is an interesting tidbit in this whole conversation.
Reach is very excited about this.
This is what I was alluding to the whole time when I said he could
win the Calder.
When he said he could win the Calder, it was all because, you know, I totally meant the 25-26 season.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Like, the experience he gained this year, maybe you're on to something for
yeah.
what happens next year. And this is always going to spark discussion, and I know people want to see the youth movement. They want to see the young players get the ice time and get the opportunity, and I think we all do.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we've been talking about this with Lekkerimäki now for weeks. I would say that we liked a lot of things we've seen, but we've been, you know, we I've at least been very cautious and said, hey, he's shown a lot of good things, but you see shift to shift, it's not quite there. And I know people want to see him play more, but I'm not sure he's able to handle it, the rigors, quite yet. And he just doesn't have the push and the speed and the physicality yet to handle things on a consistent basis. That's just evident when you watch him. But he's still capable to pull something out of a hat. You saw it against New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You see shifts where he's really good. You see moments on the power play where he's very effective. So he's clearly uber talented. There's a lot of things about his game that can help you if you use him as a 13th forward and bring him along or whatever. But given everything we've seen from him this year, and we said this yesterday before he got sent down, that I'm not sure there's anything he's going to learn or he's going to gain over the next five games with the Canucks, given how much he's already played and given the things he needs to do in order to get better for next year.
It's a tough spot. Like, I think there's a lot that comes to mind, but as I tweeted today, like, there's no question about Lekkomäki's talent. That's not the question that is being asked today. As I've said for weeks, what he needs is an offseason to get stronger, to get faster, and I just don't think that there is, like, we've seen what he can do at the NHL level right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what he can't do.
And I don't think there's anything left for him to prove in these next five games. To me, what's more valuable to his development, avoid any chance of getting hurt against a couple of teams that are still fighting for positioning. Dallas trying to catch Winnipeg and getting ready for the playoffs. Colorado's there as well. Vegas. For your next five games are teams that are going to the playoffs as you close out this season here. He'll gain more from Abbotsford's playoff run than from these five, from the Canucks standpoint, low-pressure games that they have to play with the big club. I get it. I know you want to see him. I know that ultimately more reps at the NHL level feels like something that should help a young player's development, but I think he's gotten enough reps, and more what's going to help him succeed at this level is an offseason of him growing because he is still so young.
So the whole more reps at the NHL, I do agree, but having spoken to, you know, players and he's talked to, you know, people around teams, not just the Canucks, right? And we've spoken about this over years. And it's funny because we go back to 2017 when this station began. And back then, the biggest focus of this team was draft development and the future. And what we talked a lot about over those years was drafting, developing, and how to best bring along players and how to, you know, ensure that they have success. And one thing we spoke about so much, or especially the last couple of years of the previous regime, was a lot of guys were getting fast-tracked with improper development.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing that now.
Yeah.
And it's okay for players to be sheltered a little bit in their development. And there is such a thing as you put players in positions that they can't handle, that not only does it create bad habits, but it can also make you a less effective player because you lose some confidence and you're not doing the things you need to do because you can't keep up consistently shift to shift. So is it actually beneficial for a player to put him in a position where he's going to drown as opposed to try to shelter him a little bit,
yeah,
right? And I think when I look at Lekkomäki, and to your point, you see the lack of speed and the strength, and that's all stuff that's going to come. He's a young player, and he's mm-hmm. a player that's very young in his draft class. I think he's a late bloomer physically. I think all these things are going to come for him. I'm very excited about his future.
And well,
I think
his D+1 season was basically a lost year.
Yeah, and that impacts things, right? Not to say he's behind because he took a big leap last year, and I think this year has shown a lot of promising signs again, but it's about being realistic about where he's at. And I think he's a player that, based on the physical limitations right now, I'm not sure him playing more games and being force-fed minutes is actually beneficial for his development. Whereas go to Abbey right now, here he can, that's a developmental league.
Yeah.
Go and hone your skills more, gain that confidence back, and be motivated for good offseason.
And help Abbey go on a long playoff run as well. The other part of this, and again, I know Jonathan Lekkomäki is the most talented of the young players on the Canucks roster, but if you were to ask me who's having more impact over the last couple of weeks, is it Linus Karlsson or is it Jonathan Lekkomäki? I would say it's Linus Karlsson.
Yeah, and Linus Karlsson is not going to have the career that Lekkomäki is going to have, right? But he's also, what, 6 years older?
Yeah.
And physically much bigger and stronger.
Yes.
But those physical attributes have now become strengths for him.
Yes.
I see shift-to-shift consistency from Linus Karlsson. He's shown well enough to me that I'm intrigued for him next year in training camp. Can he actually make the team?
Yeah.
I wasn't so sure. Like, based on what I've seen this year and what we saw in training camp, not to say that I wrote him off, but I kind of didn't have him as a high consideration. And now that's changed, not in terms of being a player up your lineup, but a guy that can actually be an NHL forward down your lineup.
He's signed to a one-way deal for next season as he continues to try and make his NHL dream come true. But Carlson would be the guy that you're playing Lekkerimäki over. And I know, obviously the organization is more invested in Jonathan Lekkerimäki's development, and he is a more critical piece of the future of the Vancouver Canucks, unless Linus Carlson has this magnificent breakout in his mid-20s. But you still have to maintain a meritocracy to some level, and Carlson has been playing better. And to play Lekkerimäki over him, or I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who else you would play him over, because pretty much everybody else on the wings are veterans. It would feel like, you know, you're gifting this guy the spot because he was the 11th overall pick. And people know in the NHL that those kinds of things happen. I'm not denying that. But ultimately, again, it's that. And also, there's not much more for Lekkerimäki to gain, because he's already played 24 games and shows what he can do at the NHL level and what he still needs to work on.
And also, the Canucks just don't have the centers right now where you can even make the argument that, hey, play him sheltered minutes and put him in favorable positions with some skill guys, then play on the power play, and he can be playing.
Well, that
play
was the other tweet I got today. Is just like, well, they just played him with grinders all year. It's like, what? They got nothing but grinders on the roster right now, guys. Like, let's be honest about the situation and where it currently stands.
Pugh Suter's your first line center. Then it's Teddy Bluger, Atu Ratu, and Max Sasson.
Yeah.
And he's played with guys like Ratu.
Yeah.
And who's he supposed to play with?
He got chances with Pettersson earlier this year. He got chances with Miller earlier this year.
And they were in a playoff race, in quotation marks.
Yes.
So obviously they're putting Suter and Besser together because they're two best forwards.
Yeah.
There was no opportunity, I think, either to make the argument that, hey, you should keep him here and put him into favorable spots, because you just don't have those players to put him in those favorable spots with, right? But as far as those other guys go, you're right. I mean, the centers are the centers. Oman is also hurt now, so the Canucks have lost Pettersson, Hedel, and Niels Oman. That forces them to play guys like Max Sasson and Atu Ratu down the middle, and that's good for their experience. Like, Ratu, I think, is not in the same boat as Lekkerimäki, because you see a lot of good shift-to-shift moments from him, but he still needs to get a bit quicker, and that's something we talked about with his game. But I think these are still important games for him that he can gain a little bit from. I think Max Sasson can gain a bit here from these games with the role that he's been playing. And I think Linus Carlson, like you mentioned, playing down your lineup, but can also play on the power play if need be. And he's shown really good consistency shift to shift. And his play along the boards in front of the net, and even to be able to connect play with short passes in the offensive zone, as we saw with the feed he made on the first goal the other night against the Anaheim Ducks. Like, there are a lot of things in his game that are developing. And I think, you know, for the organization's long-term outlook, you should let him explore that a little bit here before the end of the season.
Lekkerimäki did play quite a bit with Miller, actually, earlier in the season. So, you know, earlier when he did get opportunities, he did get top six opportunities. He's been given power play one time, somewhat inconsistently, and at times more inconsistently than I would like. But the power play's got a whole lot of issues outside of Lekkerimäki that have impacted that as well. So those are just some of the things to keep in mind in this conversation, too.
Lee in Surrey says, Linus Carlson is tracking very much like Dakota Joshua, and that is just fine, is what Lee says.
Well, they need more size. You know, as much as they need a little bit more speed, I think you're going to have to bring that in from outside the organization. But Carlson does have a size element to him. You could potentially think of him as somebody who works on the second power play unit as a net front guy. He's shown pretty well at the AHL level. So he can be somewhat of an interesting piece, because he does have a lot of good traits. I think ultimately, as we've talked about so often, you know, can he gain another step of speed or just play at a higher pace is ultimately what's going to decide Linus Carlson's future. As for some of the veterans on the roster, is there anything else we can learn about the veterans on this team over the final five games?
Learn? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, so Demko, I think, has already flashed.
Yes.
Do we learn his ability to stay healthy for five more games or two more starts or three more or however many games he's going to start here? I'm not sure.
Yeah, even the idea of, like, can he increase his trade value? I mean, that seems like a lost cause at this point, too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about guys like Suter and Besser. Well, for them, every point matters, mm-hmm. heading into free agency and negotiations, so they have that to play for, but I'm not sure we're learning anything about those guys. Dakota Joshua?
No, I think he just kind of, again, everything that happened with him this season, you just want him to get more reps and hopefully be healthy for the offseason and be in a better spot to have success next season.
Yeah, and we spoke yesterday, if you missed it, you can listen to our discussion about Hoglander and how he's earning the coach's trust. And I think even though it's one game, he showed the excitement to come back, the dedication to come back and then play hard and lay it on the line the way he did. And I think that was very positive, right? And I'm sure we'll see more of that from him the rest of the season. I think the only thing we can learn are negatives.
Yeah.
Like, who packs it in? And the coach is irate about it because he keeps kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, like, it's not, you know, we're watching. Guys are watching.
Yeah.
Like, there might be five games left and it's over, but, like, we're watching you guys.
It's tough, you know. Like we talked about yesterday with the comment he made about Hoglander and essentially taking a veiled shot probably at some of his other forwards on the roster right now and who that might be. I think Jake DeBrusque, you might want to see a little bit more from in these final five games. Like, who's packing it up and thinking about the golf course is very much a feeling that I imagine is going around within the Canucks and what they're seeing from some of these guys. We do know a couple of things about the roster as we get into the Canucks Central Roundup. Demko is starting tonight's game for the Vancouver Canucks, which means Lankinen will be the backup. Myers, Pettersson, and Hedl are all not on the trip. So that means, Sat, the Canucks are going on a short road trip here with only six healthy defensemen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Quinn Hughes, healthy.
Yes.
Because Quinn Hughes is a part of this conversation. It's a bit of an interesting choice, but it is a short road trip. And it sort of alludes to Quinn Hughes is playing at least these next two games.
And Tockett said something about, like, hey, we have roster issues as far as call-ups. He said we only have one emergency. I think he meant, like, one recall. So I think they have limits with how much they can use their recalls at this point. So what this does, though, is if somebody gets banged up tonight, then they could call somebody up on emergency tomorrow.
Right.
And then that person gets into the game. And I wonder if we see something along those lines, even if somebody's not, like, it's kind of like, hey, this guy's not feeling 100%, and then you use emergency to bring somebody up.
Yeah.
I wonder if that happens tomorrow. But I think it's a lot of recall options and the limits that are causing them to start this road trip like this at the very least.
They've got Philip Pronik, Elias Pettersson, Derek Forbert, Marcus Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, and Victor Mancini on the roster. Technically, Tyler Myers is on the roster, but again, he did not make the trip with the team. So that's something to keep an eye on. Quinn Hughes played just over 26 minutes the other night on the second half of the back-to-back against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah. It's like they have to limit his minutes.
Hey, I know Quinn has a big say in this, but there's got to be a point when Rick Tockett and the coaching staff is like, okay, Quinn, we're going to have to dial it back a little bit here.
Yeah, and maybe it's until that E is next in her name, and then they're like, hey, we know you're the captain, you want to go down with the ship, but we have to anchor the ship right now, and you got to rest.
We have to protect you from yourself a little bit, yes. Quinn. I think that's maybe the best way to continue looking at this. As for Dallas, I mean, look, they've still got quite a bit that they are looking ahead to. They've got a very slim chance of catching the Winnipeg Jets now at this stage. Jets are up 5 points. Dallas does have a game in hand on the Winnipeg Jets, so that's something that is almost a bit of a pipe dream at this point to potentially win the Central Division and avoid the Colorado Avalanche in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They do have one matchup against Winnipeg still remaining, but Dallas is an incredible story. Like, they have successfully retooled on the fly around Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin when that looked like it might be an impossibility. But they've drafted really well. They've been able to survive a long-term injury for Miro Heiskanen this year. And it's just a really impressive roster build and kind of hints to why Jim Neal has won the Jim Gregory Award, what, 2 years running?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
And we've been speaking recently about the Washington Capitals and their turnaround.
Yeah.
And even the Jets, of course, you can look at their turnaround too. But the Stars are the ones that we were talking about for a couple of years. And last year, the discussion around the Canucks was, are they doing what the Stars did?
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. And we'll see how that kind of trends from this point on. But they are the prime example of how to do a retool. But ultimately, you know what it comes down to?
Draft well.
Yeah. That's ultimately what it comes down to.
Like, be in a no-tax state, so guys like Matt Duchene are like, yeah, sure, I'll take a one-year, $3 million deal.
Yeah, come there and play for a year. I mean, that obviously helps, too.
After I got bought out by Nashville.
But more than anything, though, it is that drafting. Like, yeah. Look at all their players making impacts. What allowed them to go out and get Rantanen was Logan Stankoven.
Yeah,
you know,
second-round draft pick.
Yeah, and I think for the Canucks, they've used draft picks to get players, and they've done it. We've been talking about like their development, and they have some guys coming and all that, but they haven't been able to do what the Stars have done.
No.
Part of it is because they haven't had the same draft capital the Stars have had.
Yeah.
And how do the Canucks not only use their capital to get better, but also have enough to try to get players the way the Stars did? And we've constantly been in a position where we're talking about, you got to convince Pettersson to stay. Well, that was all about last year. They got him signed.
Yeah.
This year, now it's all about it. You got to convince Quinn to stay. There's no stability long term. Yep. The Stars have had that.
Yep.
And when you have that stability and you can be a bit more patient in your retool as opposed to try to expedite it like the Canucks had, I think it makes it more likely for you to hit on those players. But let's also be very honest about this. The Stars are very much the exception. It's very hard to retool the way the Stars have, and the reason
you got to go on a heater at the draft.
Yeah.
And whether that's skill to some level, I mean, Jim Neal has got an incredible draft record going back a lot of years. Was a part of that Detroit team that drafted so well in the past as well. But, you know, like a third of their roster, right? Roope Hintz, draft pick. Jason Robertson, draft pick. Heiskanen, Robertson, and Jake Oettinger were all in the same draft. Wyatt Johnston, Maverick Bork. They were draft picks for this team. So when you go to free agency, it's to pick up guys like Mason Marchment, who's now a nice little addition to the team, right? And helps round out your roster. But, you know, Thomas Harley and Miro Heiskanen, there's just such a big portion of their roster that was and has been drafted and developed by the Dallas Stars.
I mean, they're essentially most of their top players. Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah.
Roope Hintz.
Yeah.
You just mentioned
Hintz,
Miro Heiskanen,
player.
Thomas Harley, and then go through a lot of their depth players as well that they've brought up. And Oettinger, their top goalie.
Yep.
And Esa Lindell was before those guys, but again, another homegrown guy. That's essentially been how they've built their team. Rantanen was a cherry on top, and you're right. It was about filling some spots in free agency, not finding cornerstone players in free agency.
Duchene and Mason Marchment, they come in and they supplement the high end of your roster. Colin from the Caribou, any EP40 updates? Just that he's not on the trip. I don't know what else to tell you. From day to day to week to week. That's essentially the EP40 story right now.
Minor Matt in Abbotsford. The Stars also have a top-notch owner, is what they say. Shots fired, I guess.
Good Vancouver guy. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It is Canucks Central. We'll get more in on the Canucks and Stars. Brad Richardson, former Canuck, longtime NHLer, is going to join us next with the Missing Curfew podcast as well. Jan Pro, from conference rooms to kitchenettes and everything in between, Jan Pro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. You are listening to Canucks Central.